This past Wednesday, after claiming that he had no strategy regarding ISIL, Barack Obama presented what many say is a misguided 11-foot pole attempt to battle against this well-organized and, by the way, very well-funded terrorist organization. And while Obama's speech focused on ISIL and Iraq, it ignored what is, in a way, a mirror image of what exists in Syria, while continuing to turn a blind eye to how Saudi Arabia tries to play all sides to their benefit. Joining us now with his analysis is a Mideast correspondent for the Independent newspaper and author of the book The Jihadi's Return, ISIS and the New Sunni Uprising. We say good morning to Patrick Coburn. Good morning, Patrick.
Good morning.
Independent.co.uk is where we're going to read Patrick's work, as well as this fellow journalist, and of course, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, whatever your favorite means, to purchase must-reads, which The Jihadi's Return certainly is. Looking back at Obama's speech this past week on the Mideast, when you look and listen to those words, how much is he not understanding the current state of affairs between Syria and Iraq, and as you're right, with the Jihadi's return, the way Saudi Arabia tries to play all sides?
I think there's some understanding, because it's a fairly modest attempt, and he's clearly very conscious of just what a terrible quagmire Iraq and Syria are for the U.S. or anybody else who gets involved. So I think that's positive. The problem is that in both Iraq and Syria, he'd said previously, a week earlier, that the U.S. had to have a reliable local partner, and he doesn't have one in either. So I think that that's one of the great weaknesses there. You have a government in Baghdad, a new coalition that's been put together under U.S. pressure, Kurds, Sunni, Shia. But basically, it's a rerun of what we had before. The ministers are party leaders. They're not appointed on merit. They're very divided. So it's very difficult to see this government really being able to stand up to ISIS and launch an effective counterattack.
For the casual observer of this, who is now hopefully taking a greater interest in the situation as a news consumer, the Sunnis are the moderates, trying to put this into American terms, or let's just say the Sunnis would be the traditional Christians, where the Wahhabis would be the Timothy McVeighs who are Christian and decide to blow up buildings. Would that be a fair analogy?
I don't know. They'd be the Wahhabis, which Wahhabism is the variant of Islam, which is followed in Saudi Arabia. In terms of its ideology, it's extremely fundamentalist. It sees Christians, Jews, Shia Muslims as heretics. It regards women as second-class citizens at best, basically as chattels. It's extremely intolerant. Any religion that has shrines or pictures like Christianity or Shiism, another variant of Islam, are denounced. And actually, the ideology of Saudi Arabia and that of ISIS and the jihadis like Al-Qaeda is pretty similar.
I'm with Patrick Coburn from the Independent newspaper, also author of the book The Jihadi's Return, ISIS and the New Sunni Uprising, independent.co.uk on the web, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. Is there any way that the Obama administration can say they did not see ISIS coming?
Well, they do say
to this degree.
You could say that one reason they didn't, and previous administrations didn't, was that 9/11 was very clearly Saudi-inspired, in the sense that 15 out of the 19 hijackers were Saudis. The money came from Saudi Arabia, according to official inquiries in the U.S. And, of course, bin Laden was part of the Saudi elite. But there was great tolerance to Saudi Arabia after that. It was never really investigated. Saddam Hussein was blamed. So I think it sort of happened again with ISIS, just like Al-Qaeda. was underestimated before 9/11. ISIS was underestimated before they captured Mosul, the second largest city in Iraq, on the 10th of June.
You write about how, and I alluded to in the introduction, how there is almost a fork in the road type of approach by the Obama administration, one path regarding Iraq and almost an opposite path that favors ISIL with Syria. Explain that a little bit.
Well, you know, you can explain it, but you can't justify it.
Oh, no.
The U.S. and other allies are supporting the government in Baghdad against the Islamic State. They're supporting the Kurds further north against the Islamic State. When you get to Syria, the main opponent of the Islamic State there is the Syrian government. Now, the Syrian government under President Bashar al-Assad is something Washington is committed to weakening and bringing down, which, funnily enough, is the same objective as ISIS. So, you know, what are they going to do? What they've said, Obama said he is going to do, is back the Syrian moderate opposition, build that up, and this opposition is going to fight not just ISIS, which you would have thought was enough of a task, but the Syrian government as well. But there's a big problem here, which is the Syrian moderate opposition barely exists on the ground. So I think this is sort of self-deception. And if you're really going to combat ISIS in Syria, and you have to do it in Syria because it's strong there. If you attack it in Iraq, it'll simply retreat back into Syria. Then you have to do it in a more serious way. You need some sort of relationship with the Assad government, which I think they do already have covertly. Otherwise, it's going to be very messy. You know, what happens if ISIS advance further west? It's at the moment, it's, you know, it rules a very big area. It's just 30 miles from the biggest city in Syria, Aleppo. What if it seizes that city or is about to? Is the U.S. going to say, no, we won't intervene because that would help Bashar al-Assad? So I think it's a very messy situation. I think this plan, this talk of 3 years, I don't think it's going to last very long, but I think it's not going to get a real grip on events. And I think what happens next is going to be driven by what happens on the ground, not plans made in Washington.
Which is a greater concern, the way that Saudi Arabia tries to play for the better hand for themselves, although they're based upon comments in social media, I think Saudi Arabia is learning if you pet the snake, eventually the snake is going to bite you, snake being ISIS. Is that a concern to keep an eye on, or is, at least to this point, the relative silence of a country like Iran as all this is going on?
I think there's a problem for the U.S. and its Western allies, which is there we were in 2011, supposedly supporting the democratic movement against dictatorships, be they in Syria or Libya or elsewhere. But who were our big allies? Well, it was Saudi Arabia, the Gulf monarchies. Now, these are almost the only, in fact, they are the last theocratic absolute monarchies left on Earth. And the last thing they wanted was democratic secularism or any fall of democracy to occur in Syria and Iraq. They backed the jihadis. They backed people who had their own religious social beliefs. And that's really, they prepared the ground for the development of ISIS. They may be a bit horrified by the Frankenstein monster they've created, but it's at this stage, it's a bit too late.
Wrapping our time with Patrick Coburn from The Independent. He's also author of The Jihadi's Return, ISIS and the New Sunni Uprising, here on Issues and Ideas. You look at the numbers of the situation. ISIS, somewhere between 15,000 and 17,000 recruits, active members. Some estimates say maybe over 100 of those are actually American recruits. They're sitting on $1 billion. The territory they control is a constant flow of income through the constant flow of oil, which, believe it or not, to get sold on the open market. If this next attempt by America or coalition forces fails to take out ISIS, how much more does that recruitment become more popular? How much more stronger will ISIL become through a weak attempt and a weak battle by any forces that are trying to stop them?
Well, you know, I disagree with that. I don't think it's an attempt to eliminate the Islamic State. I think it's an attempt, a rather messy attempt, to contain it.
Okay.
And U.S. airstrikes, you know, they're quite effective if ISIS, if the Islamic State fighters in their trucks are coming down the road launching an attack on some city. U.S. air power is pretty effective in stopping them. But anything beyond that, I think, is very difficult because the targets aren't identifiable. It's in urban areas often. So I think that at best this will contain the Islamic State, and I'm not even sure it will do that because the aims and the resources targeting the Islamic State are really too small.
From what I've studied, it almost sounds like the need for guerrilla warfare, much like in the Vietnam War era versus the previous Gulf War eras.
Yeah, I mean, the ISIS is kind of a guerrilla organization. Sometimes it behaves like a regular army. You know, it has sort of columns of vehicles, maybe 200 men in each, but it doesn't necessarily fight like that. And it's like a kind of Islamic Khmer Rouge, if you could imagine that.
Okay.
It combines fanaticism with military expertise in a rather devastating combination. And it's not just the Iraqi government that's failed to fight it successfully. The Kurds, who are meant to be better soldiers, have failed. And the Syrian army, which fought pretty hard last month, these were battles that were barely reported because there are no journalists in eastern Syria because they get their heads chopped off. The Syrian army got defeated. ISIS took a very important airbase. So I think even now the measures that have been taken don't really measure up to the problem. And I think relying on states like Saudi Arabia, trying to push the Turks and so forth, it comes too late and it's going to be insufficient.
Well, it said that solutions come through facts and understanding, and certainly the need for solutions is what we're facing today in a worldwide realm versus the war on terrorism. And the facts, thankfully, individual like Patrick Hoburn present for all of us to learn from. It's up to us to gain the understanding so that we take the right steps, and hopefully those will be what the powers that be will decide to do. His book is The Jihadi's Return, ISIS and the New Sunni Uprising. You read his work at The Independent at independent.co.uk. Patrick Hoburn, thank you so much for the education this morning. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you so much.